Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
Order a free English lesson with us at www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru.
Good morning.
How are you?
Not very good. I have a sore throat. Mm-hmm. Other than that, everything is good. So I guess I didn't do the right measures when it started, and now it's just the consequence of me neglecting this infection. Mm. The thing is, it didn't hurt in the beginning, so I guess I just ignored it, and now it got worse. It's got much worse.
Get well.
Thank you. How are you guys?
I'm all right. I'm great. I hurt my ankle. I was planning to boast about my that I resumed my jogging practice. I was so happy because I thought, well, I think that soon it is going to snow. It's the best time for me to resume jogging. I think it was, I went out for like 3 or 4 days. And I was already, I thought, okay, I'm going, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to write to Asia and say, well, I started jogging again. One day I went out, and as I was coming back home, because right in front of, so we have an apartment building, there are like 2 steps in front of the building, so you have to, climb them, and then you get to the main door. As I stepped on the first one, I hurt my ankle, so I sprained my ankle, you can say. And right now I have like my whole foot is one bruise. I don't know.
How could you hurt it that?
I don't know. Serious? But it's okay. It just looks terrible.
But it's a good excuse not to jog for a while.
Yeah, it's true.
How long are your distances?
Oh, not that long, actually. I'm doing it just for my lungs.
Just around the city.
No, not around the city. It's maximum like 5 kilometers. Not that far. Asha made like 15.
No, 10.
No, you told me once like it was 30.
It was once. It was only once. But
it's just stuck in my mind. Oh my god, she runs that long.
It was only once, and I still can't beat this record. So,
so it's a marathon compared to distances I make.
I haven't been running for ages. I stopped running in spring, and I still haven't resumed it. So I feel bad about it. Don't tell me that you resumed your jogging practice.
Well, right now, no. I sit at home and don't do anything.
But you have an excuse.
Yes, it's true. I have an excuse.
Oh, I'm preparing physically and morally for a travel to Finland.
What's the purpose?
For scientific purposes, for studying purposes.
I thought that you were going to make a research into the beardedness of Finnish men.
I've been in Finland several times, and I have seen less than 5 bearded men.
So they're not hairy.
They do not favor beards. Mm. But their scientists do.
So you said that you are preparing physically for this. So what do physical exercises include?
Packing a bag.
Uh-huh.
This is pretty much hell of physical exercise for me, because I hate packing.
Well, and how long are you going to stay there?
Till the 1st of November.
Where are you going to stay?
It's Tampere. If this name tells you anything.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's not a big city, but still it has its own university.
Say that name again.
Tampere.
Tampere, okay.
Tampere.
Tampere. I only know La Pranta.
La Pranta.
It took me a long time to memorize.
Look at her. She is incredible. The person who will light up your day. The person without whom the universe will be just a dreary and gloomy place. And probably will just cease to exist. Because there will be no longer a point in living. Asha!
Hey!
Hey!
Yeah.
Oh, you have offered a very interesting philosophical view on the universe.
The universe is
just a fruit of imagination of a single human.
Oh goodness, I'm so deep. So, continue. And he is the future Nobel Prize winner in literature, the man that will become a legend, as all three of us will actually. So set your ears into a listening mode right now, Daniel!
Yay!
And the next Mark Rothke, Chagall and Van Gogh mixed into one, the woman with an aura of grandeur around her, Landish. I'm trying a new strategy. You know, high expectations, it is called.
Doping with high expectations. In 30 years, I will feel kind of sad and ashamed. In the Middle East, people started protesting against violence and vandalism with a demonstration of love. Kamaran Hajim, a 31-year-old photographer, is a cad, a representative of people living in different parts of the Middle East, which seeks broader autonomy and, in the end, perhaps, its own country and state. Now, however, they have to endure trials of any ethnical minority, and every single man and woman, especially those with a spark of inspiration to them, protest in their own way. The photographer and his fiancée made a photo of themselves in the place where once there was a statue. Called the Statue of Love, it showed a man embracing a woman. The statue was destroyed as a result of vandalism. The two young Kurds continue the dynamic of the statue. They kiss each other. Already many media sources are attached to this act of protest against war, murder and suffer. Other Kurds and people of other ethnicities who have access to the internet have already posted similar photos on Facebook.
When was it the protest in Egypt and, you know, like the beginning of all this? There were a lot of looters, so the people who were looting the pyramids, the museums, and it's like, for Egypt, it's like, you know, it's very important because it's their history. It's not like our, maybe we are not that attached to our museums, but and well, everything, you know, like our cultural heritage. But for Egypt, it's like everything. It's not only, you know, the heritage of Egypt. It's like the heritage of the whole world, these pyramids. And I remember that there were these people, they came and they stood, you know, they just defended all these pyramids and museums against looters. So it really reunited them.
We haven't had looters in Russia. So maybe Russians would do something similar?
Well, who knows? But I don't think that there will be people who defend Russian museum in St. Petersburg or Hermitage. Because imagine, it's not like the top priority.
Maybe Hermitage would be defended. Actually.
Well, maybe by the military, but not by the just the regular people. I think that most people just don't care. Maybe there will be a sort of intelligentsia, those thin and very, you know, the fragile people, some professors who would stand against looters. But as for the majority of the population, I doubt it very much.
So you think intelligentsia should be sinewy men? With bulging muscles?
Oh, well, yeah, why not? We have to ruin stereotypes.
Oh, and another question. What is there to loot in the pyramids?
These are historical objects, and you can sell them on some black markets for quite a good price. And especially museums, you know, it's because most of the artifacts that are really expensive. They were taken from the pyramids and put into the museums. So there are quite a lot of things.
What I can't understand is, what's the purpose of buying something stolen?
Can you imagine? There are people who are crazy about those things.
But they won't even be able to boast their, you know, their acquisition, their purchase. They won't even be able to show it to others because they know that it's stolen. That's the point. I don't understand. Like, okay. Let's talk about pictures. For example, when a picture is stolen,
mm-hmm.
it's been made official that this picture has been stolen. Somebody buys it,
mm-hmm.
but the buyer knows that it's a stolen picture.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the purpose of buying it? Even if it's original, what's the point?
I don't think, you know, we have to
keep it in the closet?
I think that's what they do, because there are a lot of paintings that have been, not only paintings, a lot of artifacts that have been stolen, and they have never been found. Because with some people, it's not about boasting, showing off, yeah, that they own, I don't know, like the original, the genuine Monet or something like that. I think it's just for inner, that they can enter some room with this painting, and you know, it's something for yourself. So
it's kind of psychological disease.
I agree. I think that we have to look deeper into it, into their psychological.
So health. It's not just about money. It's some kind of a disorder
mm-hmm.
that if they get satisfaction of merely being in the same room with a picture.
Mm-hmm.
Not even with a person, but with a picture. I could never understand that. I was thinking about it when I heard the news that some very expensive piece of jewelry was stolen
mm-hmm.
during the movie festival in Cannes. And I was thinking, what's the point? This jewelry is 100% insured.
Mm-hmm.
People know that this jewelry has been stolen. What's the point of buying something like that on the black market, just to keep it safe in a box?
That's been a huge detraction from the original theme.
This
is our style.
Speaking about psychological disorders, I'm going to send you a link. I just found it in the internet, and it is a list of reasons for admission to an insane asylum from the late 1800s. So I think it says that it's West Virginia's Hospital for the Insane, aka Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, in the late 1800s. And there are quite a lot of things.
Oh, I see my diagnosis.
So I think kicked in the head by a horse is just... It's just fabulous. I mean, domestic trouble.
Time of life, I like it.
Time of life, yes, that's not novel reading. Novel reading, novel reading. Can you imagine it?
Bad whiskey.
Oh, fabulous.
I don't know how to say that, but anyway, deranged masturbation.
How do they spot it?
How can you prove that?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Imaginary female trouble.
Is it real?
I have no idea, but it looks like it.
People back then had a great imagination.
Shooting by daughter. Oh, my God.
Imagine a similar list of today. Yes, it would be boring. It would be a collection of boring medical terms.
That's funny. Tobacco and masturbation.
Yeah, they have a thing about masturbation, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why together?
Is it at the same time?
Yeah, so if it's just tobacco and just masturbation, then it's okay. But if it's together,
yeah.
Laziness, I like it.
Oh, Daniel, you are admitted.
We're all, I guess. I'm the first candidate.
Landish doesn't count. Landish is jogging.
Yeah. But you have
but I have an excuse. Oh, my gosh.
Immoral life.
Immoral life.
We could discuss that for an hour, actually.
Yeah!
We could look at it and admire it, because it's a piece of art, actually.
Richard Swanson says, in this entry, it looks more like a wish list. It's guest bookers.
No, desertion by husband is just...
What a woman can do after she has been deserted.
It's going to be just...
Masturbate?
While chewing tobacco. Oh, perfect.
How long is she going to make a doodle for this podcast?
No, I'm not going to depict it. I'm not going to draw it. Maybe I will censor some parts, actually.
I'm curious.
No! Oh, goodness. All right.
This is a problem, yeah?
It's a XXX podcast.
There's nothing wrong. It's a diagnosis. You see, it's not a bad board.
Well, yes, yeah.
How did you find that?
I don't know, somehow. I probably Googled.
what did you Google, I wonder?
How to get to asylum.
Good point.
After that, everything...
nothing can topple it.
Everything will be boring. And... not worth talking about. Oh, there was a small piece about research done by some scientists about what food we prefer can tell about our personality.
Oh, nice.
Well, this research wasn't about food in general. It's a research of that kind would require great efforts and a lot of time. But the scientist focused his attention on ice cream flavors. The research was funded by Baskin Robbins.
Oh, how unusual. Probably a coincidence.
It is quite interesting because he came to conclusions that some tastes can tell something about our personality, like vanilla fans are impulsive idealists, mint fans are frugal and argumentative, and after that, I imagine people who get familiarized with this research or with the results of it will certainly go to Baskin Robbins because this food chain offers quite complex flavors. These people would think, "Oh my, I'm such a complex personality after eating in Baskin and Robbins."
What flavor of ice cream do you prefer?
Sherbet.
Oh, I think I remember that I always liked pistachio.
Daiquiri ice.
Never tried it.
Orange sherbet. And Oreo cookies is my favorite.
Oh. Do they say anything about pistachio eaters? Pistachio ice cream eaters?
No.
What about daiquiri ice cream?
Or sherbet.
Orange. Or sherbet.
Not a word of that. Only vanilla, Oreo. Chocolate, mint, and...
okay, what's mint?
Mint lovers are frugal, cautious, and argumentative. How did the scientist come to that? I don't know.
I think it's mostly statistics.
I think it's just maybe imagination, statistics. Very random description.
Donating to thrift shops is a terrific way to give a second life to your well-loved Velcro sneakers, keyboards, or flannel zebra jammies, as you remember from our favorite song. However, thrift stores cannot accept the following items. Pay attention. Tires, soiled mattresses, which I adore, and laptops, and large bags of marijuana.
Oh my god, yeah. That's what I wanted to donate.
I guess it's just logical, you know, what you want to donate. Of course, a bag of marijuana.
A large bag of marijuana.
Yeah. So... the article says that it's a helpful reminder, given that this October, thrift shop employee called police after finding a large bag of marijuana in a donation bin in northeast Seattle.
Why did they call the police?
I don't know.
Somebody did such a wonderful gesture.
Yeah,
and they called the police.
They took this marijuana and destroyed it, actually.
And destroyed it.
Destroyed it. Mm-hmm. Did they actually destroy it?
Well,
this is the question we can never know the answer to.
Yes, yeah.
Do not donate marijuana to thrift shops.
Yes, now you know. No soiled mattresses and no bags of...
And no laptops.
And no laptops, yes. No one wants your laptops. Even if they work.
Even if it's brand new.
Yeah. MacBook Air. Yeah. No one wants it there. It's my favorite.
Okay, now we are advertising Apple.
Yes, Apple. If you want to donate some money, want to pay for advertising, we can actually, I don't know, if you pay to us, we can dedicate the whole podcast
to advertising
Apple.
And then nobody will listen to us, but we will still advertise.
Yes, yes!
Hey, I just, like, let's imagine the introduction. She wears the... And her computer is...
And by the way, she
drives. Asha! Hi, how are you today? I'm fine. I just bought a new pair of shoes.
And by the way, I enjoy also the excellent products produced by Apple.
And I just had Lola with.
It would be iCast.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Nothing's wrong as long as we're getting paid.
I have just one small piece. It's called corpse wax. Yeah. So
sounds sexy. Corpse wax.
I never thought that you would say that, but okay. When dead bodies don't decay. So the environment that usually degrades a body can, in some cases, make it form a hard outer shell that keeps it fresh for centuries. When water heats fat, it can start a process called hydrolysis. Hydrogenated and hydrolyzed fat coats the outer body, sealing it off inside. The researchers found a handy way of growing this gruesome substance. Tap water. Immerse a body, a corpse, in warm tap water.
Okay.
Write it down. Submerge a body in warm tap water for 18 months, and then the wax begins to form. The temperature doesn't even have to be that well controlled.
Okay, hold on. Where do I, not I, where does one have to keep the body in the bathtub?
Yes, so it has to be, for 18 months, it has to be...
In the bathtub?
In the bathtub, yeah, with warm tap water.
And so you have to change water regularly, or you have to...
No, you don't need to change it, no.
Room temperature, okay.
So it doesn't matter, actually, room temperature. So it says that anything from 21 to 45 degrees centigrade will get wax going. Put it down, 21 to 45. Then, in about 18 months... the wax will be visible. While scientists were puzzling over a way to grow corpse wax, it turned out that plenty of places in Germany were doing it even without trying. Unfortunately, these places were graveyards. In Germany, they have graveyards that are said to be recycled. The land used for graves was not the kind of land that anyone would use for anything else. Its soil was wet and sandy and didn't support much air or life. As a result, the bodies never decomposed. And so there were graveyards full of corpses, corpse wax bodies, and people are still wondering what to do with them. But
I wonder how this article came to be. Someone has checked.
Someone
that.
Was experimenting.
No, it says that there were researchers who were trying to find out how to do it.
Researchers, they hide behind the masks of researchers.
Yeah. So maybe that's what they do with Lenin. Actually, is his body still on the Red Square?
Still
there? I thought that they were going to, you know...
Bury him?
Get rid of
Putin is not dead yet.
Oh, yes, so they're waiting. I don't know. I thought that we, you know, somehow we got over Lenin and it was time.
we got over Lenin's death.
And on that cheerful note, we are going to finish our podcast. So have a great weekend. Yeah, don't work too much. Have a great trip to Finland, Daniel. Make a small video for us and then we are going to upload it to, well, everywhere. Get some Finnish guy or girl to shoot you.
Yeah. that'd be a good reason to get acquainted with some Finnish chicks.
Oh, nice. Okay, good. All right, have a great day.
Lots of books and discussions at www.lingvistov.ru.